Another week, another bumper edition of Team Spirit. You know what this means. It's Team Spirit podcast. Proudly brought to you by City Press. This is your weekly one-stop sporting analysis podcast. But as always, I'm not alone, and I'm with my brother, my confidante, my one and only Daniel Trumbis Mutwahai, a.k.a. the 12th man. Tonight, today, this day, we're going to talk about, it's all about numbers. 703 and 1. Now I sound like a former president, Jacob Zuma, and the Minister of Basic Education, Angie Motshekga. You know, when it comes to numbers, but these are not our daily bread. Max Verstappen winning his second successive Formula One championship. It was given that the way he started, especially after the demise of Mercedes-Benz, I don't know what happened to my favorite Lewis Hamilton. I must admit that my heart is sore that he never featured this season. But congratulations to Max Verstappen. Let's see again next year. I hope that my team, Mercedes-Benz and Ferrari, by the way, will come to the party next year. But to kick off Ronaldo's 700 goals, professional goals in his career, Remo Tuahai, Madumera.
Dumela Respirit, Kia Leboga. Thanks for being on this platform once again. Hallelujah.
So we saw on Sunday, Manchester United is a legend, not just Manchester United legend, the world's legend, Cristiano Ronaldo, scoring his 700th career goal when they beat Everton 2-1 away from home. It's been coming. On Thursday, he tried everything in the UEFA Europa League. He tried everything, but he couldn't get it. But better late than never. What do you make of Ronaldo's heroics from where he started to where he is now?
Well, I think Cristiano Ronaldo has proven time and again, you know, what dedicated a footballer he is. And I mean, you look at his current situation now where he's been benched of late and, you know, how he took it. Yes, at first it looked like he was sulking, but, you know, Ronaldo is a born winner. So, you know, I was happy for him that he's reached that milestone of 700 goals. And yeah, he proved it coming off the bench to score what became a winner for Man United. It was really a cherry on top of such a glittering career of a man who is forever, you know, whenever a new record comes in, you know, the name Messi also pops up. But leave Ronaldo, you know, to savor his moment. And he deserves all the praises that are coming his way. And 700 is such a good number for someone who comes such a long way from Portugal, Real Madrid, Italy, now back in England. Yeah, what a legend.
Obviously, the upcoming World Cup in Qatar would be his last, where he is. How should we remember Ronaldo?
I think, like I said, Ronaldo has proved to fellow professional footballers that, you know, it doesn't really matter how much money you make in this sport, but is the passion, you know, the dedication, all the hard work that he has put in his career, because you can tell the man, I mean, he has achieved it all in football, but he's still working like he's still trying to get his first contract. So I think that's what we should remember him for, as that professional sportsman who gave it all in his daily job, which is playing football.
So from the good of Ronaldo to the bad, one of our own, is it Enoch? From Zambia, we had the news that at the age of 24, he has to call it quit, Enoch Mwepi, because of a heart condition. I don't know. I was still expecting a lot from this one. But should we put health ahead of a career? It was a promising career, but unfortunately cut short by this disease or condition.
Your spirit, you know the history, especially with African footballers, you know, collapsing and dying on a soccer field. Take it back to the days of Cameroon legend, Marc Vivien Foe, who collapsed and died while playing a CAF Confederation Cup some years back. And then remember Fabrice Muamba. You know, we've got such a long list of players who had these heart conditions. And just to take you back still a bit, remember even Nwankwo Kanu went for an open heart surgery. So, like I said, you know, it's really a curse for our footballers, African footballers, even though it did happen in Europe when Christian Eriksen collapsed during the Euro Championships. But we see he's still back and up and running. But remember, he's still not that 100% in our eyes, because apparently he's playing with a device fitted in his heart. So I think for Enoch Moape to be advised to take a big backseat on his career, even though, like you say, it has cut short a promising career, you know, at age 24. I think it's a good thing for him to consider, considering that that's a medical advice actually for him to leave the game. So, but like I say, I mean, if he really consider what has happened to fellow African footballers on the field, I think, yeah, he can really park his football career and then concentrate on other things. And like he said, he'll still continue in some capacity saving the game. But, you know, my heart really bleeds for him.
Do you remember Papi Fati? He once played for Beach Vest Vets, and then he was also diagnosed with a similar condition, told to stop. But they defied doctor's orders and went back to play. Lo and behold, he's late as we speak.
Yeah, unfortunately, sadly, remember that incident. It happened when he surfaced in Swaziland trying to push his career there against the doctor's advice. And like you say, sadly, I mean, this is potentially what can happen if you defy the a medical advice.
Okay, back home, local football, a lot has happened. Last week, we were here talking about Penaldino, Victor Gomes. This week, we are back again talking about three penalties in one game. Is this a surprise? Is this the first? What did you make of three penalties that were awarded to Kaizer Chiefs in their game against the Stellies?
Both a surprise and a first in PSL history for a player to score a hat-trick from the penalty spot. Yeah, I think Reverend Sidiso Marupi in there. Yes, the first penalty, we can say, maybe a little bit soft, and Stellenbosch will agree that, you know, when Caleb was going tussling for that ball with Mohamed Dihoude, he actually tripped before a contact was made. So by the time when they sort of fall simultaneously, it appeared as if the player was infringing the box. But like I say, you know, that one, yes, it's a different story. But
no, but my friend Victor Vich Klongwane, he says in football, it's not like when you fry eggs, you don't have a soft egg. How you want them? You know, how do you like them, soft or hard? A touch is a touch, a penalty is a penalty. Whether it's a first minute or last minute, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, but like I said, what I picked up is that Caleb sort of tripped himself just before that contact was made. So When the fall happened simultaneously, it sort of gave a referee a sense that there was a foul in that regard. But like I say, look at the initial move. But with the second and third penalties, I mean, the player handled blocked the ball with his arm, and of course Dihoude on that one tackling Caleb from behind inside the box. He himself knows as a defender that it's a no-no to, you know, commit such a tackle inside the box.
Does this once again call for VAR?
Yes, to an extent, I believe that because VAR seem to have saved the situation in most leagues in Europe and competition, and you know, in some other African countries as well. We know in Morocco, it's in use in their league. So, I mean, with PSL, with all the resources we have, if we are rated amongst the best in the league, why not? I mean, like I say, VAR is there, it's been used in major international competitions. It has really saved the day for the majority of the leagues around, even though, yes, you know, in football, football is an opinionated game. You know, nothing it's conclusive until, you know, the argument, there's a full stop to any argument.
All I know is that the referee's decision is final. And it has been proven that the referee's decision is final, whether we agree or not. AmaZulu, we know about the recycling of coaches. It looks like there's no end to that. From Marumo Gallant now resurfacing at AmaZulu. I didn't see Brendan Truta leaving, but he's gone.
Yeah, you know, it is expected in this PSL. The recycling of coaches game, yeah, it's what the majority of clubs are known for. And, you know, like, I'm actually surprised with AmaZulu. When Sandile Zungu came in, when he bought the majority shareholders, when he bought the team from the Sokelas, he sounded like he had a plan. But it looks like he's sort of rushing his project now, you know. He's sort of he's now appearing as if someone who's desperate for results, for the fact that he has signed experienced players, he's demanding a top four finish and all that. And I think you know, with such an approach, he is bound to commit some wrong decisions. And you know, taking nothing away from Romain Folz, yes, he's an aspiring young coach. He was at Rollers. He also coached in
Ghana. But I'm told you are older than him.
Oh, yes, yes. But Romain has often reminded me that, you know, age is nothing but a number. What is important is the instruction that he gives out to the players out there. But, you know, to add what I was saying about Romain Folz, I think when you look at it from the South African perspective, it is sort of a disrespect for Ayanda Dlamini. Remember, he was there before he saved the AmaZulu from relegation.
Correct.
He's been coaching. I think he has acquired enough experience to be given another chance, because he was there before Benny McCarthy. And like I said, he saved the team from relegation. He showed some promise as a coach. And now you have an upstart who's there, you serving as an assistant coach. It doesn't really add up.
Before I let you go, there are some journeymen who are in the country. They've got plumbers, they've got carpenters, they've got chefs as a goalkeeper. This team, where is it from? Is it Seychelles?
That's the Seychelles, yeah.
they got is it more than half a dozen on Sunday against Sundowns. They playing Sundowns again at the same venue. So Sundowns played home, away from home, whatever they call it. Should they just throw in the towel?
Yeah, I think with this one, it should just be declared a walkover, because I see Sundowns, you know, matching the or surpassing the same scoreline that they put behind the this team from the Seychelles. So yeah, I'm asking myself, really, how did they, you know, progress this far in this premier competitions when you have the big guns failing to qualify for the CAF Champions League?
And finally, Banyana Banyana, they got, as it, 9 from Brazil, an aggregate score. They played Australia. They were also hammered. Are they on the right track?
Well, conceding 13 goals in 3 matches should give you a big wake up, and whether they are on track or not will be determined by how they fix their defense, because I think honestly that's where the problems seem to be. Yes, the build-ups, everything, the touches are there. We know we've got good strikers, but if your defense is not up to scratch, then yeah, it's a big concern.
Well, I've got more, but because of time, Fatwi David is on his way back from Russia after Joseph Zinbauer was shown the door. Orlando Pirates still struggling in front of goals. They failed to score in I don't know how many games. But we'll talk about this and more, all about the misses and hits, predictions from the sporting field every week. So, simply visit our website, citypress.co.za, for more sporting stories. And join all our conversation on all our social media. I think that's all we'll have for now. Remo Tuahayo,
Kulebuhi Lera. Kulebuhana Spirit.